Depth is Ridiculous podcast. My name is DK Diamantes. His name is Bricky, and episode today. But before that, if you enjoyed today's podcast and you maybe want to support us, consider heading over to patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous, where you can get access to the Discord, bloopers if they happen. The $15 tier gets you access to all of our posters in crispy digital HD format. Ooh, crispy. patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous. Bricky, what's up?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Not bad. You know, it's a slow news week for all things Warhammer. So, you know, just kind of taking it easy and not watching the world explode, you know, as
yeah,
it is.
You know, I actually believe that whatever our next poster is going to be, I think I have an inkling of what it could possibly be. Just a slight thought process of what the next poster might end up becoming.
I can neither confirm nor deny any details or work in progresses about the future poster, because if I do, Shy might kill me.
I mean, that's fair and understandable, and in her realm. Yeah, you know, a relatively slow news week. Very unfortunate for the fans of insert this episode's topic here today. You know, that they had to be the ones that got saddled with the with the cataclysmic news.
Oh yeah, cataclysmic, world changing, rule breaking. Tabletop smashing news.
I gotta be honest. I found out about war in Iran the day after because we have our priorities straight.
Oh wow!
You
found out about that the day after.
My mom had to tell me, and I was like, oh, I didn't know. What a world! But
it is a world that we live in.
And it's a world that we are simply pawns in the great scheme. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, go read the big DACA, you know, check out your merch at orchid8.com, link in the description, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's a good Monday.
Yes, Monday as we're recording this. Yeah, you know,
it's nice and early in the morning, almost 9 a.m., you know, any
blue
plans?
Skies, clouds in the sky. It actually is a pretty nice morning. Not too hot, not too cold. You know,
it was a bit rainy earlier. I won't lie.
Oh, was it? I wasn't awake. Woke up at a crisp 8:30. Blue skies, white clouds.
Wait, are you trying to tell me
75 degrees? You know,
are you trying to tell me that you woke up?
Oh no, Bricky, no.
Did you say the W word?
Oh no, I'm sorry, Bricky. Please, Bricky.
Are you becoming woke, DK?
Wait, no, 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 wait, no, 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 no. I'm tied to a chair. No, 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 no.
No, no. Wait.
Wait, no, no, no.
Have you actually seen that clip?
I have. It's from The Punisher?
Yeah, it's a pretty dark part, and I can't not see it as a meme now, because it's a genuinely, like, hardcore scene.
I never watched The Punisher is the crazy thing. I like the actor from The Walking Dead, because he was a proper, oh man, I hope he gets his in that series, and I never watched The Punisher.
Me rubbing my hand through my hair and saying, like, let me tell you something, Rick, was something I repeated en masse for like a good 5 years back then.
Yeah.
It was good times. Well, you know how it
is. So, Bricky, what's up?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of a good way to again, I am upset that a sincere apology for our fans today, as the individuals excited about today's topic were unfortunately being saddled with the general news of the world.
Yeah.
I got lots of quotes for this one. I mean, I have a unfathomable amount of quotes in this one.
Uh-huh.
The issue is that they all kind of tip their hand when they're said.
Okay.
And so I think you might get away easy with this one.
Okay, what you mean, you're just not going to give me one, because, wow, they're all just so easy. Let's just assume that DK is as smart as we all think he is, and just skip the quote.
I mean, naturally, no, But I think you're going to get it still.
Okay.
We'll just grab this simple one, unless Shai has anything better for me before we hop into this.
Well, given that you've said that today's episode, you've already apologized to fans of them for being saddled with thing. I'm tasting it in the air a little bit, but go ahead.
Did you have to make that noise?
Oh, you mean yeah. That's me. That's me tasting the air.
I don't like this. I don't like
air
this.
Molecules. They taste like little gold. I'm getting a little gold in here. I'm getting a little, you know.
That's like the worst thing I've heard all day.
It's what we've just woken up. Well,
exactly.
Oh well, hey. I'm setting the bar.
I like this one from Shai. We'll read this one instead. The lives of those who once devoted themselves to him hold no meaning to the him now. I would weep to see us fallen so low, but there is too much to be done if we are ever to restore ourselves and prove that we were right and the wolves were wrong.
Wow, that's actually not that obvious of a quote.
She found a decent one.
Wow, that's actually pretty decent. But are we doing custodian-related shenanigans today, by any chance?
No. That's we're pushing past that because, this is what I meant. They're saddled with this, but we're pushing past that.
Okay. The lives of the boy that I just kind of assumed that that's what we were doing, and now I believe I have blockaded reason. And intelligence, I'm not that I had a bunch to begin with, but I believe I have put up a blockade, and I cannot see the forest for the trees.
The Dorn method.
Yeah, I have fortified myself thinking that that's what I was preparing for today, because there must have been something.
Who hates wolves?
Who hates wolves?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would say the Thousand Sons hate wolves quite a bit because, wow, did you have to break his back? Did you nearly kill him? Now we're all sand.
He's done it again, lads.
Oh, no. What? Really? I did?
Yes.
Are we doing Thousand Sons?
We are.
Oh, let's go, my sandy boys, my dusty boys.
It's finally time.
Let's go.
It's finally time. It's time.
Let's go.
Well, it's not quite K-Sons. It's Magnus the Red, but it's...
Right. We do the Primarch, and then we do the faction, right?
Yes, the usual type of one, then the two. In fairness, if there was any faction that the Thousand Sons would love to watch implode, it would be the Custodians, especially on tabletop, because fighting Custodians as Thousand Sons on tabletop is a nightmare, but not for much longer because their codex is ass.
Ooh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, it's
that seems
bad.
Like the thing to be upset about. It's like, oh, the codex just sucks. Like, that's the thing to be upset about.
It's
right?
It is arguably the worst codex I've read in, like, almost ever. It's really, really bad, but it's
poor Custodians. They're supposed to be hype. They're supposed to be crazy.
Unimportant.
Thousand Sons, Magnus the Red. We do like a good Cyclops boy in this house.
So can I admit to something here?
Yes, sir.
In this podcast, our dynamic is very clear. We have Warhammer know-it-all Bricky and Warhammer not knowing stuff DK, along with intermediary / kidnapper Shai.
I would not want to be kidnapped by Shai, by the way.
Well, at least you'll be alive.
Well,
I prefer the term finessed.
I would say, like, if you're captured by the Drukhari, you're alive. You'll wish you weren't.
Also,
but
true.
You're alive, so that's kind of like getting kidnapped by Shai, I feel like.
Regardless, the main thing, though, is that I actually, despite me having that thing, I'm still, like, relatively like fan Warhammer person. I have lots of like very surface level knowledge. I'm not a super dive deep unless it's certain factions. Yeah. I actually knew very, very little about Magnus. That might surprise some folks, but I actually genuinely was not a huge Magnus, like, I mean,
fan.
I don't know. It's just when you see magician guy, you kind of just assume that they're magician guy, and I kind of moved on from that. The Egyptian aesthetic is cool, but not like my favorite aesthetic.
I sure do love painting Trim.
God, the Thousand Suns Trim is so awful.
Ew. And they're those damn helmets with those little lines on them.
Yeah. They're genuinely awful. I agree. But I didn't know much about Magnus. So in a sense, despite all of the usual Horus Heresy stuff that I've learned about Magnus through osmosis from all the other events in the lore, I didn't actually know a ton about Magnus. So this was basically a fresh look into the character. And okay. I left with less than I thought I would get.
Well, less like you didn't like him as much as you thought you would, or there wasn't much new info. What do you mean by you didn't get much out of it?
I expected there to be more lore for such a loved character. And there are a couple books about him. You've got the Thousand Suns novel, the Crimson King novel, and also The Fury of Magnus. And then a couple of short stories here and there. But I guess I expected maybe like 60% more in terms of all of his general information, and it was less than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, for me, all you ever really hear about Magnus is like, oh, Magnus did nothing wrong, even though he very clearly, even as someone that likes Magnus and likes the Thousand Sons, homeboy did a lot wrong. And that's mostly what you hear about him and how he got his back broken by Russ. Other than that, it's like, yeah, what else is there to tell, right? Other than he's mad at Ahriman for Ahriman being stupid. But
well, that's not quite fair, I don't think, to Magnus either.
True.
There's a really good phrase I think someone said, which was in D&D, you know, you have intelligence and you have wisdom, and they're two very different attributes. Magnus is a very smart person. I would argue he is one of the smartest, if not the smartest, Primarch in a lot of facets of just general knowledge. But he did do a lot of dumb things that were based a lot on emotion, and he took a lot of gambles, and he's also quite wishy-washy with a lot of his decisions. Kind of threw me off, so.
Yeah, Magnus is that character that has super high intelligence, very low wisdom.
Maybe not very low.
Well, lower than, just average wisdom.
Lower than his intelligence.
Yeah, quite a bit lower, but yeah.
So, here's how Magnus rolls around. So, Magnus, of course, is, as far as I'm concerned, the largest Primarch. I believe he's the biggest. I think he actually, I don't know if he eclipses
even among Vulcan. I was going to say Vulcan is a big boy. Like, is Magnus bigger than him?
I thought he was. Well, because Magnus is also like red, you know, he's
that's true.
He's a little different than the average character. I don't remember if he's actually, well, he's bigger now, no doubt, but
yeah.
I don't remember if he's actually larger than Vulcan or not, but he's a big boy.
All right.
Very big boy. He actually remembers a great period of time when he was an infant, which is a fascinating thing. When he was in the pod on Terra, he constantly psychically communicated and chatted with the Emperor.
Oh, wow.
Because he has the most psychic might by far.
Sure, if anybody's going to do that, it's going to be Magnus, because he's the psyker of the group, essentially. Right.
And he was able to talk with the Emperor a bit during his pod, and eventually when he got yeeted out, he landed on the colony world of Prospero, which is a kind of a haven for outcast human psykers. The entire planet was already covered in psykers, and so when he landed there, he wasn't really seen as anything different.
Right. He's just a normal baby with psychic abilities, just like the rest of us.
if we remember in the Age of Strife and a lot of things, psychers popped up a lot and then were ostracized and then witch hunted. And yeah. So eventually when they were sent out and away, they were able to, you know, kind of
colonize,
find a haven for themselves yeah. and be do well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do well.
Not be hunted down and ostracized and, you know, yeah.
Right. So they chose, you know, they chose Prospero because it's quite remote from Terra, very, very far away. And Magnus landed directly in the middle of a plaza of the main capital of the planet. And then a very famous psyker named Amon.
Amon sounds more like the Egyptian vibe of the of their thing. Yeah, yeah.
That's true. A-M-O-N. So I'm going to go with Amon.
Yeah.
Amon.
Oh, he's cool looking.
Yeah, no, he's got a good design.
Head tats. Nice.
He found Magnus, raised him as a son, tutored him in all things psychic, and naturally, like every other Primarch ever, he outgrew way faster, and then the student becomes the master.
Especially when you're a Primarch. It's only a matter of time.
Especially when you're a Primarch. Magnus, yeah. of course, mastered psyker in psychic training to a huge degree, became extremely powerful, very, very smart, channeled warp energy, looked into the warp all the time, and mastering it very, very quickly. Eventually, he led a campaign on Prospero against a fancy type of warp beast called the Psychoneuan. Ooh, that's so hard to
pronounce.
It's another, I don't know, imagine them kind of like the beasts on Caliban for the lion, except psychic beasts, and we're constantly giving problems to the Prosperan people, so.
Okay, so just crazy wildlife on Prospero that's kind of sort of warp-based.
Yeah, like psychic wildlife.
Yeah.
So he, okay. you know, in usual Primarch fashion, he became leader of Prospero, led a fight against all of these beasts, took them out, and with them completely removed, he was able to rebuild and turn Prospero into kind of a paradise. I'd argue that Prospero is... Chai, do you think there are any other home planets that were better than Prospero? Like, it was genuinely, like, giant marble and glass pyramids with, like, gorgeous plazas filled with forests and just, it's just, like, a paradise.
Wow, that picture of Prospero is like, wow, yeah, that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice. And, of course, pyramids, right? Because, you know, the Egyptian vibe, right?
Right, of course. Maybe of course. Ultramar, but I think Ultramar was like a little bit more industrial. Like this is what I'd imagine you'd talk about when you think of a paradise world. Lush greenery, marble and glass, and you know, like it, you know, you like take a walk through the plaza and it's just this like mind-bending, gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Yeah, wow. Hey, Prospero, that's a luscious green paradise you've got there. Be a shame if anything happened to it.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yep.
We'll get there. Yep.
We know where this is going.
I mean, Tizca, the main capital of Prospero, was known for its, like, splendor. It's just this pure beauty. Mm-hmm. It was incredible in a million kinds of ways. And because of this, well, not because of this, but the massive psychic might in the warp of not just Magnus, but of the people of Prospero
made the Emperor.
Yeah, the whole planet being of psychers, the Emperor noticed them pretty darn quick.
Yeah, I'm surprised this wasn't the first thing he found, like, because they've got to be setting off a beacon in the warp that is just freaking massive, like Independence Day alien ship massive, like. Continental beacon in the warp with this planet of psychers just bing, bing, bing.
Well, if you remember, this was a very, very far away place from Terra because of the because you know psychers wanted to be as far away as possible.
Oh, that's
so
true. That's
it's
true,
far.
Sure.
It's far yeah. away. But regardless, okay. eventually the Emperor did arrive with his fleets. And him and Magnus chatted as if they had, like, known each other forever because they talked a bit in the pod and nothing, like, this is the psychic might of Magnus. There mm-hmm. really isn't any need to show some kind of diplomacy. Like, once you're there, you're there. Like, Magnus got him. They got each other.
Sure. Also, So they communicated a little bit when he was in the pod, right? Psychically. When he got out and he started, like, actually, like, training and becoming, like, a stronger psyker, he couldn't, like, had he been keeping in contact with Big E, or had they, like, not been? Because, I mean, if he can do it as a child, surely, as a trained psyker, he could very easily be like, hey, Dad, what's up? It's your boy, Magnus. I'm here, and I'm a strong boy. Like, or was it just, like, connection immediately cut, or... How does that work?
We're stretching the limits of the psychic power a little bit. Don't forget, well, we'll get to that later, but in order to transfer vast distances with psychic energy, don't forget what Magnus had to do in order to do that, and he's like an infant child.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's very different when it's like, hey, hi, test tube son, I'm currently staring at on Terra looking into the glass versus across the galaxy.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Sure. That's fair. Yeah. To be able to do intergalactic messaging would probably be a little more difficult than, yeah, that's fair.
So the main thing that's after, you know, I mean, Magnus, the Emperor, they chatted, things are good. Oh, I welcome your place into the Imperium, yada, 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 the usual kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it should be noted that Amon was like, hey, Magnus, you know, going into the warp, doing the warp stuff, it's important. It's good for us psychers and stuff, but you be careful. There are things in there little predators in there that will want to cause you problems. So be careful with how much warp stuff you do. Magnus mm-hmm. likes his warp stuff, so he did a ton of warp stuff, and the Emperor was like, hey, great stuff, but hey,
maybe be a little cautious, because there's things in there that you don't want to, you know, there's trouble. There's trouble in there. There's stuff in there that's, don't mess with it.
Watch yourself a little bit. Just kind of mm-hmm. watch yourself. And so, you know, Magnus eventually was reintegrated into Imperial society, and I'd argue the number one biggest thing that led to what he was as a character was the mutation of his sons. So do you remember the problem with the Thousand Sons gene stock?
I really don't. The only problem I remember with the Thousand Sons was, you know, not the vacuum.
Right, we'll get to that also.
Yeah. That's much further down the line, but like pre-heresy, I genuinely don't remember what's wrong with their gene seed, to be honest with you.
So, right. So there's a reason they become the dust, but and this is part of it. So they have a genetic warp-based mutation called the flesh change. It is a big issue where basically with time, and often if they push their psychic powers too much, they will grow like tentacles and eyes and eventually turn into basically a chaos spawn.
Oh, whoa.
It's a bad process.
I did not know that. So if they go too hardcore with their psychic stuff, they just turn demon?
Not so much demon, chaos spawn. It's a little different.
Oh, okay.
But do you remember that? The tentacle thing in the beginning of the Dark Tide trailer, or like the intro cinematic?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, it's like that thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's your flesh just goes out of whack. Chaos mutants.
That like is
blabbering mutants.
Well, that is quite the unfortunate gene mutation for a group that is known for their psychic abilities. That sucks.
And partially probably because of that psychic ability is half the reason why this is their issue. But
true, because you're messing around with the warp so much that, you know, when you mess with the warp tends to mess back.
So, you know, the Thousand Sons were out and about doing occasional things in the Great Crusade before they found Magnus, like most were, but that mutation had really taken its toll, and so by the time Magnus was reunited with his sons, there were about how many left?
Was there 1,000 of them left by any chance?
About 1,000 left.
Let's go, I'm batting 1,000 today, baby!
The Thousand Sons. That's why they're called.
I'm batting 1,000 on the Thousand Sons episode.
This man does not miss, literally, because it's 1,000.
Let's go. Let's pump an iron today. Just, you know, working on the shoulders, working on the lats, you know. Just kidding. I don't work out.
Gonna be thick, succulent, and rotund.
I am thick and rotund. I don't know about the succulent part, though.
Well, there's always time.
How does one work out and become succulent?
And we'll get there later. So,
oh no.
So Magnus, of course, sees this awful flesh change thing, and particularly there are two people that really don't like this warp issue mutation. Well, mm-hmm. I guess three. I was going to say the Emperor as well, because he had his problems, but that's not quite what I was going to go for.
I mean, I'm sure the Emperor is not a big fan, sure.
Not a big fan, but for the most part, it was Leman Russ and Mortarion. These two people were the ones who disdained Psykers the most and the use of the warp, and particularly disliked how Magnus waged war. Because often they would go and, you know, go to a planet to liberate it during the Great
air
Crusade.
Quotes, liberate.
Yeah, air quotes. During the Great Crusade.
How about
Crusade,
a nice cup of liberty?
Kills self with impact grenade.
calls eagle on self.
They often would, you know, wage war in the psychic manner, which sometimes meant like enthralling the population, which was pretty dark and not great, but it was a way to lower casualties.
Sure, sure. You know? Psychically, less casualties, but then they go crazy, and you know. Also, yeah. Mortarion. So I knew Russ was obviously not a big fan, because Russ likes to go in glory, glory, hallelujah, and do his thing. But Mortarion too.
So we haven't done Mortarion in a long time. Morty, yeah. The lords on Barbarus, on his home planet, were all Psykers, if I'm not mistaken. Or a lot of them were. And so he has huge disdain for Psykers, for what they wrought on him and his, like, friends.
Okay, that's all you had to say. I got you. Yeah, now, and I'm like, okay, yep, that makes sense. Yeah, all right, cool. I'm with you now.
Yeah, Mortarion is a Psyker, and he hates himself for it.
Oh, all right. Hey, he just like me, for real.
Yeah, Mortarion's...
Except without the psychic ability, you know.
Mortarion's reason for going heresy is a bit iffy. Yeah, because he, like, hates the Emperor for learning he was created with the warp, and then he also hates him because he didn't let him kill his own dad. And
yeah, he kill-stole. I remember the kill-stealing and that being his big reason for being like, yo, F you, Biggie, that was my kill.
But there were a lot of very difficult, problematic things that went along with Mortarion and Russ. Specifically in the, hey, your Psykers are cringe. And also, stop going to a planet after you liberate it and stealing all of their lore, because that's not very Imperial truth. That's not very humanity number one. The Imperial is the only way. Why would you keep the knowledge that you gain from them? That doesn't seem like there's a point.
Ah, okay.
But of course, Magnus loves his knowledge. He loves his learning. Keeping knowledge, safeguarding knowledge, even of other factions and stuff, is good. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it got to the point so much that Magnus, him being as amazing as he was with psychic power, had a little book on his hip, the Book of Magnus.
Oh, okay. It's not like a Book of Grudges, is it? It's just like a book of knowledge of other cultures and other planets?
And more so a spell book.
Ah, okay.
And more so a spell book. It's a big old spell book. And with that spell book, records all kinds of crazy sorcery. It's actually kind of neat. It's the hide of one of those psychic animals. It bounds the book with like a golden chain and a lead lock. Okay. He always keeps it on his hip, and you might see a lot of photos of Magnus, and it's always on his hip, little book.
Also, do the Admech by any chance have any affinity for Magnus and the Thousand Sons? Because, like, I know they're, like, psychic and everything, but they also seem like, oh, but it's knowledge, and you should preserve knowledge, and knowledge is good. And the Admech are kind of like that, right? They're kind of like, oh, but knowledge is good. We should keep knowledge. We should learn from knowledge. But... Well, I don't know.
It's not. The thing is, it's not old school human dark age of technology knowledge. It's like opposing culture knowledge. That which is always one of the biggest issues you run into when you talk about the ad mech is on one hand, they're like, I refuse to ever consider any Xenos technology. But on the other hand, some ad mech people are like, well, we need to study the Xenos tech so we know how to kill them better.
Yeah. Wasn't that in Brutal Cunning one of the things that they were like debating was like, we need to like. There was some book we were reading that was essentially like, oh yeah, we can't just destroy Xeno stuff because then we won't know how to kill Xeno stuff.
It's weird with ad mech. Some consider the research of other factions to be heresy. Some consider it to be completely, you know, fine in the grand scheme of things. It genuinely just depends on the individual.
Okay. And it's so no biggest... real affinity. It's just kind of like,
Yeah, and like, why bother? But also, I think the ad mech cared less about what the hell Magnus the Red was doing. They cared a lot more about making more guns.
Yeah, they probably had their own stuff to worry about. Who cares what a Primarch is doing?
Yeah. But for the most part, this was kind of like where Magnus was heading. You know, he was gathering all this sorcery and power, and his biggest issue was this flesh change thing. And eventually, there was the possibility or the request that, maybe, you know what, this flesh change is a real problem. We should just, like, kill them all.
Oh, okay. All right. Sure, yeah. Well, is it just kill anybody that has been, like, hey, he's growing tentacles. Kill him! Or was it just any, like, how did they have go on?
So... if they were considering euthanizing the remaining Thousand Sons because they had this genetic fault.
Okay.
And, you know, Mortarion and Rush are pretty big on this. And there's not many of them left, so it's not a huge deal. And then we can just start with some new Marines that don't have that issue. Bada-bing, bada-boom.
Realest guy in the room, how you doing? We got rid of all the nasty genes. Yeah, okay.
Easy. And so Magnus naturally was like, please don't.
I bet he was not a fan of this.
No, Magnus. If I had to guess,
you want to do what?
I think Magnus cared the most for his sons out of any Primarch. Vulcan. Like maybe Vulcan.
Mm-hmm.
But I genuinely think that he is number one top dog. He gave the biggest shit of all of his sons. I think. Maybe more than Vulcan, maybe the same. Depends if you ask a Salamanders or a Thousand Sons fan.
Yeah.
It depends. It damn close.
He really likes his sons, though, regardless of if it's the... He really, really likes them. He appreciates his boys. That's the important part, right?
That's the important part. And so he decided to do his damnedest to find a way to fix the flesh change. And he asked the Emperor, he's like, let me find a cure. And the Emperor said, all right. Do your thing. Uh-huh. And so after a large amount of studying and trying to figure out some kind of fancy cure for the flesh change, he delved deep into the warp and made a bargain with an entity.
Oh, Magnus, why you gotta be like this, man? I know you're desperate to save your boys, but this reeks of bad idea, high intelligence, low wisdom. This seems not good.
You ever wonder how Magnus lost his eye?
Yeah, actually, I did. I never heard the story of how he lost his eye. I'm assuming it's to the warp entity.
Well, yeah, maybe if the Emperor was less cryptic and didn't do that whole, don't be careful with this stuff, instead of, hey, buddy, there are gods out there. but Magnus... It believed himself to be the smarter one and win out on a duel of wits. He exchanged his eye for the he exchanged his eye specifically to reverse the flesh change of his sons.
Huh. That is a shockingly low price to pay for what he's asking for.
I mean, yeah, it's an extremely low price to pay.
Like, the fact that he only had to give up his right eye and the sons he cared so much for would be cured of this awful genetic mutation, that almost seems too good to be true, Bricky.
Crazy, right? Well, yeah, one might say that that price was very low.
Yeah, shockingly low. Wow. Well, good for Magnus and the Thousand Sons that nothing bad happened.
So, you know, the flesh change was then abated. Awesome.
Great. You did it, Magnus.
You did it, Magnus. Great stuff, Magnus. And so things got better. Things got much better. Life for our good friend Magnus the Rem and the Thousand Sons were very solid. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't any issues. There was no bringing or the flesh change did not come back. This was a deal hard won.
Yeah.
And so the Great Crusade continues. The Great Crusade moves along time and time again to deal with those, you know, bits and pockets of resistance out there. And eventually, there after some time, Magnus, well, I guess the flesh change might have popped up again once or twice, but very, very, very small.
Okay, so rarely, it happened rarely. That's, you know what, hey, gave up my right eye. It is mostly cured. Pops up every once in a while. That's fine. We just put them in a dark corner, never to be seen again. All's well. Whatever. Now, better than stuff. Everybody having it. You know, it's okay.
Very easy stuff. And perchance, Russ and Mortarian and the folks were not super stoked with all this whole thing going on. So there, we eventually get to a point known as the Council of Nicaea.
Ruh-roh.
Council of, that's true. The farther from Terra the Crusade went, the more strange warp-influenced creatures they came across. And it was similar magic to Magnus, and that also made a lot of the people doing that Great Crusade not particularly stoked.
Yeah, that seems like something to be a little alarmed about.
Slightly alarmed.
Sure. Mm-hmm, definitely worrying.
So you got to the Council of Nicaea. And in this council, Russ and Mortarian, I don't think it was actually Russ, I think it was like a stand-in for Russ, basically went to the Emperor and was like, hey, this has got to stop. It's a problem. The psychers are issues. We are finding more and more of them. It is issue. Oh crap, the quote about Morty and Magnus. Oh, do I have that quote on hand? That's a good quote.
Yeah, I can see why the Council of Nicaea would be like, hey, Magnus, look, pal, we love you and everything, but maybe dial that shit down a little. We're running into some weird stuff that looks a little familiar. So if you could just cut it out, that'd be swell.
Do you?
I get that.
Shai, do you have the quote? I'm actually not finding it. Oh. Are you actually, you want to read it?
Magnus points out how physically in tune Mortarian is because his bodyguards follow exactly 7 steps behind him and he can melt into shadows. I just love Magnus being happy that his brothers have gifts like him while being oblivious to the fact that Mortarian is planning to sue him at the Council of Nicaea.
That's right. It's right. Because every Primarch, we were talking about this before, every Primarch feels like they have like a little psychic stuff. Bit, you know, like Kurz can see the future. Mm-hmm. Sanguinius has angel wings and can also see the future. You know, everyone has a little bit of one of those things. And it's like, yeah, wow, Morty, look at your great gifts. You're also a little bit psychic and magic. And Mortarian is just furious.
Just cope, seethe, mauled Mortarian. Yeah.
Very upset with that. So anyway, we talked about the Council of Nicaea before, but the long and short of it is that eventually Librariums were to be disbanded, as in the use of psychic powers and space marines. Magnus mm-hmm. and the K-Sons were banned from practicing sorcery and all the psychic effects, and the only psychers allowed were things like astropaths, navigators, and other sanctioned psychers.
Right, which obviously Magnus is not going to be happy about because that's their forte. That's what they do best. That's their thing. You ask us not to do psyker stuff, that's like asking a space marine not to use a bolter. Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, it also massively reduces the effectiveness of the Thousand Sons.
Oh, yeah. Massive nerf.
take the Thousand Sons and just remove all of their psychic powers. Like, oh God.
It's like, why even exist? Why even, like, why don't you just disband the Thousand Sons?
Kind of need that stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's our thing.
So, regardless. Fun fact, Amon was at Council of Nicaea and voted pro-use of magic. He was also impersonated by a demon.
Oof.
You love it.
Yikes.
You love Zeej.
So he's a demon at this point.
No, impersonated by. He's still
around. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was impersonated. Okay. But the emperor voted no. And naturally, Magnus was furious to this, but can't really fight this. And funny enough, this is actually where the Space Marine chaplains started showing up to uphold the imperial truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, the chaplains have become a little bit of a different thing nowadays. They're a little bit more they're a bit more of a zealot now. But at the time, this is kind of when they showed up. Like, hey, put them in, bring the purity of the Astartes legions. And yeah, now they're priests. So a little different.
Right. So are the chaplains the one that go back to like Prospero with Magnus and they're like, hey, we're going to keep an eye on you. Make sure you don't do any psych or nonsense. Or are they just like, no, Magnus will follow the rules. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Chaplains were put in all Space Marine legions just to kind of like help uphold the imperial truth. This isn't Big E giving the custodians to Lorgar to watch his ass.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool.
Now, after this, of course, things start to get a bit problematic because there's this crazy event going on called the Horus Heresy.
Oh, wow. That little thing?
A little thing like that.
Yeah.
And so originally, right, Magnus, you know, because he's a psyker, he often like peers into the great beyond and looks in the future and all these kinds of stuff. And Horus was made War Master and all these things. And eventually, it's a long back and forth situation going on with this whole deal. But I think an important situation is that he has a vision of this big civil war.
Yep.
And his first goal is like, all right, I got to tell Horus about this thing. I got to figure this out. So he goes to psychically contact Horus and he's like, oh my God, he's already been stabbed by the evil blade.
Yeah, I'm already too late for that event. Can't change that. Oh, well, let's move on to the next chain of events that I can potentially stop.
Yeah, like, oh, God, oh, crap, we're already there. We got to move on.
Yeah, move on to the next point of interest. Yep.
So figuring out what the hell to do at this point, he's like, oh, I got to tell the emperor, but I can't just like do normal telepathy. It's so slow. This is a bad issue right now. It's like I got to be quick. I got to be fast.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. All right, everybody. Gather around. Bring the sorcerers in. I'm going to send myself directly to Dad.
I'm okay, Dad. And this is the moment. This is the big fucky wucky. This is the Magnus did everything wrong moment. This is, yep.
So he sends himself to Dad. And then once he gets to Daddy, he's like, what the hell? I can't get through. What is this?
Yeah.
What is all this stuff? I can't talk to Dad. I can't figure it out. And then whispering in his ear is some fancy pantsy guy being like, hey, buddy, if you need a little bit more help, I got your back. Just take it. I'll give you a little bit more power and then I'll let you burst your way through it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't listen.
And Magnus being all like, God damn it.
I gotta get to Dad.
I gotta help Dad.
I gotta get to Dad. I gotta warn Dad about this thing that's happening.
God darn it. All right, here we go. I will take your power, mysterious warp entity. Skadoosh. Kablam. Metal pipe sound effect. Hey,
Bazing!
Dad. Watch out, Dad. Horus. Oh, my God.
What did I do?
So
and he breaks through the Emperor's secret webway project that he didn't tell anyone about ever.
Blows through the entire psychic barrier, keeping all the demons out. And next thing you know, the 10,000 custodians are left dealing with this mess forever.
And Biggie can't leave the throne anymore because he's got to protect everyone from all of the demons that are pouring in. And Oh, Magnus.
Oh, Magnus.
Why did you have to listen to the whispers? Were the whispers maybe coming from his... it'd be funny if he was like, oh, I hear whispers coming from my missing eye. What's going on? It's like they're coming from my eye socket.
He needed to burst through the barrier, and there he was to warn the Emperor. And in reality, he killed a whole lot of people in that room. And then...
How many people did he... Wasn't there like... Wasn't it like...
It's like thousands.
No. Oh, like thousands.
Thousands
okay.
of adepts, yeah.
I was going to say it wasn't millions, but it was a lot of people that just immediately...
I know we're not super hot on Master of Mankind as an overall book, but the opening being like Magnus blowing through and the Emperor being like, what have you done?
What the... Dude,
it's a really good opening.
Oh, for sure. That is a great opening. Also, is it Master of Mankind where you get to see like the POV of the psychers that are getting drained? And it's like, yeah. It's like, oh my God, that's awful. That's, oh my God. And this happens every day?
Yeah, that was a bad time. That was a pretty bad time.
Sheesh.
But anyway. So, you know, he does this. He blows through the whole thing. And good old, Biggie is not happy, clearly.
That's the understatement of the millennia. Biggie was not happy when Magnus burst through his secret project.
He was very, very upset. So,
Miffed even.
So, at this point, Biggie clearly believes that Magnus has betrayed him. And he is the huge issue going on right now. So he says, hey, Russ, go capture him. Go take him out. Bring him back to stand trial. And halfway through, Horace was like, hey, Russ, Dad changed his mind.
he wants you to burn Prospero.
He wants you to destroy everything he's ever known and loved. And Russ, not much liking Magnus, but also understanding that Horace, as the War Master, basically spoke with the same authority.
You listen to Horace in the same way you listen to Big E. You don't question it. You just follow orders.
And so that's kind of what he did.
That is exactly what he did.
We've talked about the burning of Prospero a few times now. Talked about it with the Space Wolves, but Magnus specifically there was... This is one of those parts that he's really wishy-washy, and it kind of throws me off. That's true. Russ did try to get him alive, technically, but it's more fun to imagine him as not.
Yeah, is it true that Russ tried to, like, send comms to Magnus and be like, hey, Magnus, and I'm pretty sure it's true that Magnus had put up, like, a barrier so that no comms could get in, no comms could get out, because he was, like, he felt really guilty. He was like, oh, my God, what have I done? I effed up Dad's project. I killed all those people. Man, whatever's coming for me, I deserve it. Screw it. If Prospero burns, I deserve it.
I'm actually a little bit impressed that is basically what happened, yeah.
Yeah, I know a little bit about the Thousand Sons. They were the first faction that I painted, so I knew a little bit about it.
He knows a little. And you are correct. That is what happens. For the most part, Magnus, not wanting to be an unwitting pawn of Tzeentch again, puts the shield up and kind of just resigns himself to fate. Because any kind of fighting back would possibly have him require more assistance.
Oh, yeah. And he wouldn't be able to turn back the influence of Tzeentch.
Right. And so they were caught basically completely by surprise, in a sense.
Yeah, well, the populace of Prospero was... Yeah, Magnus knew something was coming, but the Thousand Sons were like, what?
And especially when they had a huge contingent of the Imperial Army and Sisters of Silence brought with them, which, of course, are real rough issues for Magnus and his friends.
That's a problem.
But, you know, and this is the wishy-washy thing, because eventually Magnus changes his mind. Like, halfway through his planet getting razed to the ground, he's like, you know what? Maybe I will fight back. You know what? God damn it. I hate what's going on right now. I care about my sons so much. I'm seeing them all just die in droves. You know what? Fine. I will fight back. And it's a little, I don't know, it's a little weird. And it's a little wishy-washy.
It is a little wishy-washy, but I mean, I can kind of see it where you're like, oh, I deserve this punishment, and oh, I'm going to see. But then, like, once the punishment starts happening and you see everything you've known and loved, and you love it as much as Magnus does, you can kind of, like, you can kind of see how, like, you know what? No, I got to save my sons. I can't just let them pay for my mistake, right?
All right. So it's a bit of, I get it, but, you know.
Wishy-washy, certainly.
Wishy-washy.
Yeah.
The final fight between him and Russ, you know, between the Sisters of Silence and the runic armor that Russ had, it was basically a, not necessarily like a psychicless duel, but it was very much, you know, muted psychic powers from Magnus because of all of the wards put in place.
Yeah.
And when you get into a one-on-one fist fight, you know, Russ ain't
always going to win.
Russ ain't bad. And, you know.
Yeah.
So this is a Thousand Suns reference. I'm not going to go too hard on the backbreaker. It's we care about them this time.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I was going to say, everybody forgets that, you know, even though he was significantly nerfed, Magnus puts up a good fight. He does crush one of Russ's hearts, and he considering who he's fighting, he puts up a nice fight. Like, I don't know, if Magnus wasn't nerfed by all of the things put in place to stop him from being Psyker, do you think he could have, like, tangoed with Russ and won?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, his
maybe. I mean, they're Primarchs, so, you know, yeah.
His psychic knowledge is incredible. Like, he could just blast him to bits, but there's a reason why Russ wore runic armor to
ward
that stuff off.
Oh, yeah, he came prepared. He was like, I know who I'm fighting. I'm not going to go in there, and yeah, fair enough.
And you know, clearly that's one of those things that's you know, you prepare yourself beforehand. It's not like the two of them are just nude.
Mm-hmm.
would you like to read this quote?
Sure. Do you remember what you said to me, brother? Do you remember what you said to me as we fought before the Pyramid of Fotep? Do you remember the words you used? I do. As I recall, your face was tortured. Imagine that, the master of the wolves, his ferocity twisted into grief. And yet you still carried out your duty. You always did what was asked of you. So loyal, so tenacious. Truly, you were the attack dog of the Emperor. You took no pleasure in what you did. I knew that then, and I know it now. But all things change, my brother. Magnus thinking about their fight after becoming a Chaos Primarch.
You know, Magnus, damn, after becoming a Chaos Primarch is actually kind of a little petulant, I won't lie. He's been very spiteful. I think he maybe deserves it, but it's also partially his fault.
Oh, for sure. But he's the one that listened to the voices in the warp. Like,
Yeah, but at the same time, that's the weird part, right? Because it's like,
yeah, because he had no idea. Like, Big E didn't tell him.
You know,
if Big E's like, hey, the reason I don't want you whispering into the warp is because there are chaos gods that want to influence you poorly, then, you know, he would have known better. But it's like he's just kind of whispering into the warp. He doesn't know any better. He assumes he's helping, and it's like,
you're kind of angry because on one hand, you're like, Magnus, stop taking the damn candy in the van, but on the other hand, like, Big
the
E,
parents never warned you.
Warned you about the van guy, right?
Parents, yeah, don't take candy from strangers. Don't listen to whispers in the warp.
It's not hard to understand.
No, but if nobody tells you, you don't have this common sense.
But with
Magnus and the Thousand Suns, for me, it's always been like, yeah, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Like, his intentions were good. He was trying to help, but...
Yeah, but here we are.
Mm-hmm, here we are. I actually don't know, like, what's Magnus doing now that he's become a Chaos Primarch? Like, because I don't actually know
we'll talk about that.
Oh, okay.
After he gets murdered by Russ, can you guess what guy in the van reached out and said, hey, if you don't want to die and your entire, all of your sons to be exterminated here and now, How about you take take my power, maybe?
I would assume maybe a little zinch, a little gotta change. Maybe reached out a weird looking tentacle and was like, hey buddy, grab on. Take a hold of my grippers, you know?
Take a hold of my grippers, yeah?
Oh no. Thanks, I forgot DK. This is 2024. I literally meant like the tentacle and how it has the suction, but I was like, oh no, this is 2024.
I know what you said.
You can't just say take hold of my grippers without everybody losing their mind.
Cheesy grippers.
Oh, I hate my life
from Taco Bell
right now. Oh,
as you should. All right.
Yeah, grab that taco. Yep.
Grab the taco.
Eat that taco. Yeah. Oh boy. Anywho. Which is ironic because taco is Japanese for octopus.
Is it really? Oh, yeah, but it's T-A-K-O, right? It's K-O.
Yeah, but it's taco. If you have an octopus taco, it's a taco.
You're stupid. I hate you.
Oh, this is newsflash, everyone.
Anyway, so
on we go.
Yes,
Magnus has taken a firm grip of those cheesy grippers, and what happens next?
He gets entirely stolen and sucked into a warp-based world. Basically, the most to all of the Thousand Suns still remaining are then yeeted away into a sort of demon world that was already prepared. And Magnus, in his death, was blown apart into a ton of shards, the shards of Magnus.
Oh, so Magnus straight up gets
away in random areas.
So he gets obliterated into shards that just get yeeted all over the place?
It was quite the backbreaker.
Oh,
sorry.
Wow.
Sorry, Kisson's fans.
I genuinely didn't know that. I thought he was still kicking around.
The shards of Magnus are like, it's a weird thing because they don't really spend a lot of time on it. It was a bunch of shards out and about, and that basically meant that like while Magnus was there from his like ephemeral form, he himself was not there. And so during this time, Ahriman and gang and Amon spent time going out and trying to find the various shards of Magnus to restore their Primarch.
Whoa, I had no idea. That's do each of these shards have like a lot of like latent magic? Only reason I say that is because I immediately think of like Catan shards and how much power is in just a shard of it. Are these Magna shards the same? Whereas like if you have one, like,
no.
Oh my god, my Psyker power goes nuts.
No, okay. No, nothing to that extent. Catan shards are insane.
Sure. But once they gather all of them, they can bring Magnus back. And so does he exist? He exists in ephemeral form, but just not like physical, or he's just gone.
Imagine the shards of Magnus as like parts of his personality. They're like bits in him. For example, Amon kind of found out about like 4 to 5 shards. Ahriman found 4 shards, allowing him to kind of go back together. Mm-hmm. But then there were certain shards that were still missing. I think one of the shards was like his just kindness, his goodness and humanity, and it was on Terra still. And so I guess current
no getting
is
that
like
one
a bit
back.
Of a dick.
Man, if I was Ahriman, it's like, yo, find the kindness one first because I don't want angry Magnus coming back right now.
Well, unfortunately, that shard was left on Terra, so they weren't getting that anytime soon.
Yeah, you're not getting that one anytime soon. So are the Thousand Suns, is this like, are they dusty yet, or have we not gotten to that part yet?
We are not dusty yet.
Okay, so the Thousand Suns, still physical, we'll say. Okay, just making sure. I wasn't sure when that actually took place.
No, we're not quite in dust mode yet.
Okay.
Though
that's a big Ahriman oopsie.
That's Ahriman having his own... How do you say it? slight mistake.
Yeah, just like Dad. Trying to help Dad. Come on.
So, I mean, at this point, like Magnus is his own and he's aligned against the Emperor, basically seeing it as vengeance for the Emperor completely betraying him, not telling him anything good, didn't warn him about the guy in the van.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. And for the most part, during the Siege of Terra, Magnus and the Thousand Suns were all beneath. They were down in the dungeons trying to find Magnus's lost shard. They find Malkador and it says they like defeat slash kill Macador. Seemingly, of course, he doesn't die.
Of course. Wow, really? They kill him? Or they try
no,
to?
They seemingly kill him.
Seemingly. But still, that's freaking Macador. That's a big deal.
Malcador, I don't know if... Malcador is insane, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if he can stand up to Magnus. He's Magnus.
That's Primarch and his... Yeah, I guess.
He's also a bit Zeench-juiced at this point.
True, he is roided up on that Zeench chaos juice. That's true. That does kind of even the scales or tip the scales in their favor.
It's a bit. It's a bit of... okay, I see the word cope in this that Shy posted, so I have to read it.
Well, that's the problem.
Magnus believes that if he gets his virtuous shards, he will go back to how he was before his fall to chaos. But that shard got used up to create Janus, the first Grey Knight. Thing is, Magnus did bad thing before he lost the shard, and he did nice things after he lost the shard. So the whole shard chase by Magnus is kind of cope. He is who he is, shards or no shards. And I am in full agreement. I don't necessarily...
Yeah.
Once he took the candy in the van deal after Prospero, he's his own guy, and he's just having some fatalism.
Yeah. This definitely the shard chase sounds like a massive cope. Like he knows he effed up, and he's looking for any like scapegoat. Like, oh, I only did it because you know once I get my shards back, and oh, that'll fix it. And it's like, no. Also, man, they used up one of Magnus's shards to create a Grey Knight.
Yeah, so that was part of the whole Grey Knight thing to deal with, you know, like the strongest psychers. Janus was like the first Grey Knight, and so you use that real power, that psychic might to create, you know, the first Grey Knight to go anti-chaos.
Which is pretty crazy that it's like, oh yeah, by the way, this first greatest Grey Knight, yeah, that was just one of my shards. It's like, whoa.
I mean, Magnus only has like, it's only like 10. It's not that many. It's not like shards where it's thousands.
Right, okay. But yeah, that's a big cope on Magnus's part.
But Magnus then, after the whole Malcador situation, attempts to enter the Imperial Throne Room and kill the Emperor, but is unfortunately stopped by Vulcan at the time. Mm-hmm. And then Vulcan and him duel for, you know, back and forth. The Emperor actually, while on the throne, opens his eyes and throws a vision towards Magnus. A fancy vision where he's like, Magnus could be instead on the Golden Throne, making the mankind incredible, cosmic knowledge, a perfect future. He would just need to expel the traitors from Terra, join the Emperor's side, and also he would need to probably kill all of his sons again.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Because wasn't Big E making the Golden Throne specifically for, like, Magnus? Like, wasn't it supposed to be Magnus who sat on that thing and protected Terra? Because he's, like, he was the only son with enough psychic ability to actually do it besides Big E?
I swear, DK, sometimes you, like, you just know lore that you just, I feel like you shouldn't know. Like, it's like you forget just such obvious things, then you pull that stuff out of your butt, and I'm like, how do you remember that part?
I don't know. I feel like somebody, I don't know if you told me or Shy told me, or if it was just one of those things I picked up when I was looking up Thousand Sun Minis or something, and it's just that part always stuck with me about Magnus. Is like, brother, that could be you on that throne, and yeah.
Well, damn. So.
Hey, look at me. I'm so smart. This, like, the Thousand Suns episodes were the only ones where I was like, hey, maybe I can pull out some, you know, because I knew a little bit about him. You know, I know a little bit.
I don't know why you're eating like that, but fair enough. So him and
because I know it bothers you.
Him and Vulcan fight during the Webway in the Webway during the Siege of Terra. Vulcan gets his ass beat a bunch because this is currently super juiced Magnus, but Vulcan is Vulcan and you know continues to chill. Eventually, Vulcan because he's a perpetual blah 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 blah.
Yeah, he respawns. Blah blah usual stuff. We get it. Yeah. Bad writing.
Right. So before Vulcan could actually kill Magnus, because he's about to beat the hell out of him with the hammer, Magnus give himself to the powers of chaos fully. And then at that point when Vulcan's about to just hammer blow the shit out of him is when Magnus is like, all right, full candy, full candy. Yeah. Take the candy. We are no longer going to the van. We are driving the van.
Yep. He reaches the Tootsie Roll center of the Tootsie Pop. Yep. He takes that last lick.
The giant etheric form with the huge wings, and he's how Magnus is seen nowadays.
Oh, nice. It's what his mini looks like.
Yeah, it's what his mini. I mean, I guess maybe missing bits of armor, but you get the point.
Yeah. He's got the nipple horns now.
Oh my god, the nipple horns.
He's got the nipple horns, man! Grab on to my nipples, right?
Yeah, and that was after, because this is after he lost the shard, the virtuous shard, and so he's also like, well, if I'm not going to be me anymore, then I guess we're going full stop, because again, I don't know, maybe a little bit of cope, but...
Oh, so he knows the virtuous shard is gone, and he's like, well, screw it, if I can never get all of my shards back... Well, what the hell? Sure, Zinch, take over. I mean, you know, I'm here because of you anyway. Might as well go full force. I guess that makes sense from Magnus's point of view.
Yeah. And you might as well. It is weird, though, because Magnus does do a lot of nice things. Shy posted this. During the Siege of Terra, there was, like, some Phosphex bombs that were blasting into some observatories, and he did shield some civilians from the fire, non-combatants. You know, I think it's just civilians. Yeah, just keeping them fine. It's weird because the guy is really, really nice, but then he makes a lot of bad decisions that put him deeper into the grasp of chaos. And then he tries to, because Zinch plays that off of his niceness all the time. He constantly uses his good side to ruin him.
It sounds to me like one of Magnus's biggest problems is that he's just too goddamn naive. Like, he's so naive. He's like, oh no, the Whisper is here to help me. It could never think to hurt me. I could never imagine that. Oh, I'm doing this for good. I'm doing this to help Dad. Nothing bad. He's just so naive. Like, he is big brain, but he's just so naive in, like, everything he does.
I think it's like, maybe.
It's like this childlike naivete.
I want to call him childlike naivete. I feel like that may be maybe
too far.
Is difficult. It's maybe a little bit too far. I think he puts too... Because
he's not a bad person. Like,
no,
it is very clear.
He cares too much, and because he cares too much, he's manipulated because of it. He's like...
Definitely.
God damn it, I figured it out. Magnus is the definition of nice guys finish last.
Yeah, I think that is better. Yeah, not naive. Naive, wrong word. Definitely what you said. He cares too much, almost. Yeah, I think he just tries too hard. Sure, I would go with that. Not naive, but yeah. I agree with you.
It's genuinely just a level of it's a level of, like, how much this... You know, I guess in a way, it's how good Zinch is to manipulate people, how good he is at this kind of stuff.
But that's the Chaos Gods, right? Like, they can manipulate even the best of you. Like, you know, I hate to use the corny-ass, edgy Batman quote, but just a little push. Yeah, Madness is like gravity. All you need is a little push.
But he was pushed like 9 times. It was the eye, then it was the breaching the wall, and then it was Russ, and now it's the Shard Vulcan fight. It's just one step.
Yep, one little push, and you get closer and closer to the edge until, wow, we're free falling, and there's no rope to grab, there's no foothold to grab. You are just, 'cause I'm free. Free falling, you know.
Sure, man. Why not?
It's an old song.
I know that one. Come on.
Look, I'm just saying, man. It's an old song.
Free falling, you bastard.
Okay, hey.
Even despite all of this, even despite all of this, and Magnus fully transcending him and Vulcan, you know, fight a bunch, and eventually. I think Vulcan dies eventually, just comes to his wounds, but he's Vulcan.
He responds.
Before that, Vulcan just absolutely smashed off Magnus's entire head with his hammer and banished him back to the warp because, you know, it's not actually death.
Oh, right. Sure. Yeah. He just goes back to the warp and, oh, damn it. I gotta watch my head next time.
And then because he's gone during this part of the heresy, you know, the rest of the heresy plays out as we know. emperor goes on the throne, etc. Mm-hmm. And then post-heresy is when we get the other parts. Chai, do we want to talk about the rubric of Ahriman maybe in the Thousand Suns episode? I think it's a bit more relating to
stuff. Now that I think about it, all that stuff probably should be in the Thousand Suns episode because, you know, this is the Magnus episode, and we've kind of covered the main points of Magnus, right? So, you know.
Because, like, the rubric of Ahriman is basically how we can transition to talking about the Thousand Suns themselves and what the rubric marines are.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Because it's, I gotta be honest, it's pretty nightmarish.
Yeah.
Being a rubric marine seems like it sucks.
Yeah, yeah, not the vacuum. Is that a stray gust of wind? Ah!
It's like I joke about that like with you, but like my god, dude, being a rubric marine,
it must
seems
be
like
awful.
It seems like it's genuinely horrid.
Yeah, but hey, you don't have to worry about turning into a tentacle monster, I guess.
I guess
one horror for another. I guess.
I don't
know. Hooray, you're immortal, sort of.
Magnus is weird, dude. He's a strange guy. He clearly gave a huge amount of care to his sons. He is, and he's such like an opposite of the general Chaos Primarch backstory. His world was amazing, gorgeous, and incredibly well functioning.
No trauma.
Yeah, no abusive father, no living his life eating rats and stuff.
Yeah,
no.
It wasn't a death world. It wasn't a crime world that was enveloped in darkness and murder and
no
deceit.
Gladiator pits.
No spikes.
No
you
spikes.
Know, no traitors, no daddy issues.
No, it was all a goddamn paradise. And
it was all good until, you know, that whole, here, take my eye.
And I mean, honestly, from a philosophical point of view, also pretty incredible. Magnus, maintaining the culture of those you extinguish is like, you're still murdering them, don't get me wrong, but at least it's got some level of nobility to
keep
the knowledge.
Mm-hmm, you're keeping a part of them alive. You haven't completely extincted them for the imperial truth, as it were.
Yeah, right.
There's a little honor and nobility in that, in at least with, you know, withholding their knowledge.
Like a little bit.
Yeah, you still wiped out a civilization, but you know,
and you kept
a little spark of them alive.
And like, there's a certain extent of where like psychers in humanity are meant to evolve in this way, possibly. And knowledge of this is good. And then Big E didn't warn him about the candy van. And goddamn,
there's
damn
plenty
him,
of blame to go around for sure.
Like, goddamn him! Why did he have to be this way?
Yeah, why is Big E such a bad dad? Well, Big E's a bad dad because he doesn't see himself as a dad.
No, I mean,
yeah. At least that's what they said in Master of Mankind. He's like, well, I let him call me dad because whatever, I guess they can do that, but I don't see them as my sons. And it's like, oh, that's why he's a bad dad, because he doesn't see them as his sons at all.
That's why he's the way that he is.
Yeah.
It was
one of the better parts in Master of Mankind, where it was like, wow, Big E's mindset is oof.
Yeah. I don't know. It's bizarre. Magnus, there is no Magnus did nothing wrong. There is plenty of Magnus did not do anything like maliciously.
Yeah, he never acted out of malice or like would you say he wouldn't act out of greed or malice. The road to hell is paved with good intent. He had the best of intentions. He really wanted to help. He just didn't have all the facts.
It was that. I remember back in the day when I went to when I did like fire tech, like early high school ROP firefighting, like to get started into it, like, you know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. There was a constant statement of like, being a hero is not real. You know, you think about people like run into the fire, like run into the burning building to save the whatever. And,
you know,
you only ever hear about that when it works. And 90% of the time you just die.
Yeah,
like you just inhale smoke fumes and you just actually die immediately. And
yeah,
it's like, well,
only hear about the 5% that actually make it out, whereas like there's 95% that, like, you know, they get injured, the building collapses, or
And if you do it, you're like, you're an idiot. That's the whole idea, is you do it, you're an idiot. But, you know, Magnus is out here running into a burning building, and in this case, it's the Emperor's Webray Project, doing everything he possibly can to make humanity good and to save his son's lives. And he's running into a burning building over and over again. And inside the burning building is a terrifying demonic entity with a handful of candy.
Yep. Yeah.
And here we are.
But he, like you said, he cares too much. Like, even if the building's burning, I gotta save my kids, you know?
Yeah, and this is what's turned, this is how it's turned out.
Yeah, it didn't turn out so good.
It did not turn out very well at all.
Quite the opposite. Yeah.
Poor well, Magnus nowadays is revived and out and about. He is currently out mainly constantly attacking Fenris. It's like he's only like three times.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Sure, sure.
If I'm not mistaken, either Bjorn or someone else like body checks him over a canyon, which is really funny. he took over the ruins of Prospero as well. He fought Gilliman when he was revived. Battled each other. They had some good banter back there. Gilliman was like, "All I see are a bunch of propagandized crazed creations serving a false god." And then Magnus looked around. And he's like, "Yeah."
Please tell me about the Imperium and how propagandized. Certainly couldn't be the current Imperium worshiping Biggie as a god.
Hey, pop meat kettle there, big Bobby G, just a little bit.
Yeah. Do you hear that phone ringing? It's for you. It's the kettle. It says you're black. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's So yeah, there's a little bit of that good stuff. I do find that one of his, he made friends with a few people. Jagatai, he was actually really close with. He was close with Lorgar as well.
That makes sense, actually.
I find that he was bros with Perturabo pretty hilarious.
That seems weird.
I think it's because Magnus was a nice guy, and so he gave Perturabo like praise for what he did, and God knows that he needed it.
He was like one of the few people that praised Perturabo, and Perturabo's like, "Oh, besties, you love me."
Also, they were both, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Nerds. They were giant nerds. Purdy loved learning as well, science and architecture and stuff. And Magnus was the magic guy. Perturabo clearly had a praise kink.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably did.
At least he needed one.
He wanted a praise, like he desperately needed it. And Magnus was like, nice job, guy. Good stuff." And he's like,
"Nice job,
you know,
guy."
Orgasms. He's just he's like, "I guess I should compliment him." And Perturabo, in that moment of getting complimented, just orgasms all over the place, and now we're best friends.
He fires his iron cannon. I forgot about this quote, it's so funny. Right, as Magnus saw movement in the light, a vast being of burnished steel and fury, a titan in iron and yellow and black. He knew him, but could not name him. He fell, but did not hit the ground. "I have you, brother," said Perturabo. "No harm shall come to you, nor your magnificent hair." Such a weird moment of Perturabo humor.
Jesus. All right. I mean, to be fair, Magnus does have great hair. He's not wrong.
Magnus does have great hair. That is true. You're not wrong.
He probably uses a mane and tail on that thing, you know?
I find the Thousand Sun, like, I actually don't find Magnus to be the particularly as interesting part. I mean, granted, I am a little bit newer to Magnus, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely find the Thousand Suns a bit more fascinating than Magnus himself.
The
whole rubric of Ahriman and the Rubik Marines, I actually really find pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm. After the Heresy, it's pretty much all Thousand Suns, right? Like, So,
well, I mean, Magnus is out and about, obviously doing his thing, but
yeah,
Magnus now is a spiteful asshole. He's like, the Emperor betrayed me. The Emperor was a shit dad. I'm here to burn the Imperium. And out of all the Primarchs out there, I think he's got a fair enough reason for it.
Yeah, I feel like his spite is justified a little bit. I feel like he's justified in you know, wanting to burn Terra and, you know, fuck you, Biggie.
Yeah,
justified.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And you know what? If anything, I'm just happy that this lore is so much different than the average Chaos Trader lore.
Yeah, it definitely is a 180 from the usual. Oh, I grew up on a death world. Oh, this horrible thing happened to me. It's just like, he had everything. He had everything right. He had everything good. His world was a paradise. His sons loved him. He loved his sons. And he still managed to, like, mess up and get turned to chaos.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I thank you for reminding me, Shia. I should mention that. Yeah, he attacked the Fang, Space Wolf's Fortress, and specifically stopped a wolf priest from finding a cure for the wolfen. He killed the priest, destroyed the lab, and he cared more about stopping them from finding a goal to spite them as opposed to killing the actual. You know, I can see it though. He's like, if I have the flesh, I struggle with the flesh change. Now you guys get to struggle with it.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. If you won't let me cure this, you don't get to be cured. Nah. Yep. A little petty, but, you know, I kind of get why he feels so petty against, you know, the Space Wolves. So, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Magnus, you tried.
Good. He certainly tried.
He definitely tried. You can't, not for lack of effort, at least, I guess.
Sure. All right, kids. The lesson of today's episode, say it with me. Don't take candy from strangers. It doesn't matter how nice the stranger is or how bad it is or if the candy is for your brother that has cancer. Don't take the candy from the van.
And definitely don't give your right eye in exchange for the candy.
Definitely don't do that.
Don't give up your right eye for the candy.
All right, congratulations, everyone. Congratulations, Yay. Everyone. Magnus, you fucked up. Goodbye.